Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would help us every day of the coming new year to continue our celebration of Christmas, to continue celebrating the fact that we have a Savior, that Jesus was born to die, born to die for our sins. In him we have forgiveness, in him we have promise of life eternal. Father, help us to live out that promise every day of our lives, that in everything we do, we would do it for you. We do pray that the words of my mouth, together with the meditation of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, on the clock, it's only been some 60 hours or so since we gathered here together to celebrate Jesus' birth. In the Bible, according to today's reading, it's been 40 days. In between those two, when he was 8 days old, according to custom, is when Joseph formally named Jesus, the name given him by the angel Gabriel some 9 months earlier. And then 32 days after that, it was time for his presentation at the temple. The first 40 days after a child was born were days of purification for the mother. But now, after 40 days, she could once again enter the temple, and Mary would do so with Joseph and her baby to fulfill the law of Moses, that every firstborn male would be presented to the Lord. It was also true for animals. The firstborn was offered at the temple in sacrifice to the Lord. But for the boys of Israel, they were presented for a life of service, a role that had been taken on by the Levites who served in their place. Now let me tell you, in just those couple of verses, there could be a whole bunch of sermons. Jesus' name, foretelling that he would save his people, and that Jesus was presented for service to the Lord, but how he would himself one day become the sacrifice for the sins of all people. You heard Becky read about it earlier. And then Luke goes on to tell us about Simeon, who had been waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comfort that would come when the Messiah himself came to them. We know of his song of praise, which from the Latin we have called the Nunc Dimittis, that we are now dismissed in peace because of the salvation earned for us by Jesus. We really don't know much about Simeon. But if I were to ask you if he was an older gentleman, you'd probably say yes, like, duh, everybody knows that. But nobody knows that. That's only legend. We're never told how old Simeon was. The one that we do know was old, in fact, very old, was the prophetess Anna. If you would, look at Luke 2 once again. We're going to look at verses 36 through 38. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 36. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Now, I should tell you, there is some debate among scholars as to how old she really was. Some have translated her age, just like I read it, that she was 84. Others feel that we are being told she was actually at least 91, maybe even 105. That she'd been married for 7 years, then a widow for 84 years, that would make her 91. And if she got married at the usual age of about 14, she'd be 105. All of those, 84, 91, 105, all of those probably qualify as very old. And for all those years, however many of them there really were, she spent her widow years at the temple. It certainly means that she was there night and day, her waking hours. But it could also be that the prophetess was afforded a sleeping room at the temple, that she literally lived there. Now, while the church is often called upon in Scripture to care for widows, I want you to know that I have been blessed in my life in ministry to have been cared for by many widows like her. I want you to know the church is blessed yet today with many like Anna. In fact, here's a story. It brings us not just some 40 days from Jesus' birth, it brings us forward some 2,000 years. Hurry up, Grandma. If I have to drop you off by the church on my way to work, I have to leave in about 5 minutes. I'm all ready to go, child. Just need a little help getting down the stairs. Anna looked at the long flight of steps to the garage and cringed. If only she could afford to live in one of those nice retirement apartments uptown, she wouldn't have to navigate these stairs every day. Almost slipping more than once aggravated her fear of falling. It aggravated her granddaughter Bella, too. Bella was energy itself, zooming from job to soccer games to PTA meetings to civic club meetings. She had little patience for her grandmother's slow, uncomplicated lifestyle. Anna spent her days at a little church she grew up in. The congregation was down to just a few families, but Anna loved them all with her full heart. When she wasn't polishing the woodwork or cleaning the windows, she was sitting in the pews praying for Abigail's new grandbaby or Tom's heart condition. There was always something to pray for, and Anna made it her business to keep the church family before her Lord in prayer. She was 84 years old, and some days felt every second of it. Other days she felt as if she could go on forever, just worshiping and praising the Lord. Here you go, Grandma. I'll take your arm. You just follow me. You're a good girl, Bella. I know it's hard to have an old woman like me to take care of. Oh, Grandma, you know I wouldn't have it any other way. It's just I'm so busy, I barely have time to think. Not having time to think is one thing. It's not having time to pray that I'm worried about. Bella sighed as she put her keys in the ignition. Please, Grandma, I don't want to have this conversation again. You know I don't share your ideas on religion. I believe in God, I just don't think he's too concerned about us. I mean, look at our world. People killing each other in wars. People talking about wars about to happen. Earthquakes, floods, food shortages. If God really cared about us, stuff like that wouldn't happen. Anna quietly buckled her seatbelt. It's true. What you said about all those things happening. It's a hurting world out there. When Anna got to the church, she went inside and walked straight up the aisle to the altar. In the last couple of years, she had taken to sitting in the pews instead of kneeling at the altar like she had in her younger days. but today she felt a special burden. Clutching the rail, she painfully lowered herself to her knees. Jesus, you told us these things were going to happen. You stated plainly that our world was going to get worse before it gets better. But Lord, this is hard. It's hard on me, but it's especially hard on my baby Bella. She's had to endure so much, Lord. First, her mama and daddy get killed in that car accident. Then her husband runs off and leaves her with those two little ones. I can't blame her for feeling like you don't care. But I know you do, Lord Jesus. I know you do. You told us to be of good cheer, that you've overcome the world. I could use a little of that overcoming feeling about now. Anna stayed at the altar rail for a long time, long enough that she couldn't stand up. Scooching around, she tried to push herself back and up, but somehow landed on her side. Something snapped. A current of pain shot across her hips and down her leg. Oh Lord, what have I done? She cried. Anna tried to roll over, but the pain took her breath away. All she could do was lay still. There were no meetings planned for the day, and no one would know that she had fallen until Bella came to pick her up that evening after work. Tears slid down Anna's cheeks, and she felt abandoned by all. Even God seemed a long way off. It wasn't like he was going to come by the church, pick her up, and rush her to the emergency room. It was going to be a long day. Anna moaned to herself. The sound woke Anna with a start. It was so loud she had to cover her ears. What was going on? The sanctuary was lit like there were 1,000 light bulbs burning in the chandeliers, but they hadn't had all the light bulbs changed in them for years. No one was willing to climb the scaffolding to change them anymore. But the sound was still going on. It sounded like what? Trumpets blowing? Anna stood up quickly, then stopped. How was this happening? Just a moment before, she had been in such pain she couldn't move an inch, and now she was up on her feet and felt as if she could go on dancing. She ran down the aisle of the church and looked out the front doors. People all over the neighborhood were standing outside, staring up into space. What was going on? Maybe terrorists had blown up the post office or something. Anna reasoned, maybe I should stay inside. As Anna backed away from the door, she bumped into something and jumped, clutching her chest. Whirling around, she stood face to face with a stranger. "How'd you get in here?" Anna asked. But she wasn't afraid. Something about him just took the fear right away. His eyes held hers, and for a moment, she could almost hear him speak, although he hadn't said anything. "Anna," was all he said. And she fell to her knees the second time that day. "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, you've come at last, dear Jesus." Thoughts flew through Anna's brain faster than she could catch them. But one thought captured her heart and pulled it straight up into her throat. "You've come too soon," Anna shrieked. "My baby, she isn't ready for you yet. You have to come back." Anna caught herself. "Well, Jesus, I'm sorry. It's just that I'm not sure. My Bella is ready for you. She needs a little more time." "More time, Lord Jesus. Just a little more time." Anna bowed her head, ashamed to be so arrogant enough as to tell Jesus he couldn't come back yet. Anna had waited her whole life for this exact moment, and then she doesn't want it to happen. What was she thinking? Then again, for the second time that day, tears started flowing down her cheeks. Tears of sorrow for herself, but then a great wound in her spirit opened. A deep, unfathomable fear hit her. Bella wouldn't be with her. How could she endure eternity without Bella? It would not be possible. Heaven was to be a place of no more sorrow or pain, but to be there without Bella, that wouldn't be heaven. That would be hell. Anna lifted her head and saw her Savior's face. The sorrow in his eyes transcended her own. He felt her grief, only she knew he felt it more profoundly. His heart ached for Bella too. "What can I do?" Anna asked. "How can I get her to believe? Is it too late?" Anna felt Jesus' hand reach out and bring her to her feet. She felt him embrace her, and peace, like she had never experienced, overwhelmed her. She settled into his encircling arms and breathed deeply of the fragrance of his touch. Grandma, are you okay? Bella had Anna in her embrace. Concern displayed in every aspect of her being. What happened? Anna tried to move, but the pain shot through her groin once more. What time is it? It's almost 6. 6? How can that be? It's just daybreak a moment ago. Grandma, you've been laying here all day. I have to call an ambulance. We've got to get someone here to help you. I'm so sorry, Grandma. I'm so sorry this happened, and I wasn't here to help. Oh, but Bella, I had the most wonderful day. Let me tell you about it. Jesus is waiting for you. He's willing to wait, but let's not make him wait too long. It's going to be glorious when he comes. Oh, Bella, it's going to be glorious. That's the story of a modern day Anna. And I share it only to let you know that you can be one too. You don't have to be female like Anna. You can be a male like Simeon. You don't have to be old or widowed like Anna. You can be any age, married or single. We don't know any of those details about Simeon. What we do know about both of them and about the modern day Anna is that there is a Bella out there that you, and perhaps only you, can speak to about Jesus. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we've looked at the calendar, and we know that you have given us one extra day next year. You've given us more time to be the Annas and the Simeons of today's world. More time to dedicate our lives to you, in service to you, to do everything we do for you. And Father, to do it by seeking out our own Bellas, by seeking out those who perhaps we need to share the good news of Jesus with, by seeking out those who perhaps we're the only one who can reach out to them with that good news. We pray today that you would place that burden upon our hearts. The burden for reaching the lost. And again, especially the lost that perhaps we're the only ones who can reach and to help them find you. We thank you, Father, for the examples of the heroes of faith in Scripture, of the Simeons, of the Annas. I pray today that you would help us to follow their example and to speak to all of those around us of the good news, of the tidings of great joy that have come to us at Christmas, that to us, to them, for them, a Savior has been born. We pray in his name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus until life eternal. Amen.